Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You mentioned the founding fathers. What were they like? I'm asking both of you.
You know, everybody made fun of George Washington's hair, you know, because it was white as a sheet. It was like,
oh, and those wooden teeth were.
Oh, yeah. No, it was crazy. It was something. But I used to borrow Lincoln's hat, the stovepipe hat I'd borrowed for Halloween. You know, those were fun days. They really were.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Dad, I think you owe it to the audience to address why you've missed the last couple Levitard shows. How are you doing? How's your health? People are concerned. I've been getting DMs, genuine concern from people. I think that's where we should start. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I always gauge it by my voice. On the episode last week, it was such a struggle. I could barely get through it. My voice is not perfect today, but it's better. You know, it's no secret. I have what I would call minor health issues. Believe me, I'm not complaining with all the people in the world who have it worse than I do. I just have, you know, breathing issues and coughing issues that lead to a real effect on my voice. But
breathing issues, we can agree, is important.
It is important. But again, I put everything in perspective. I'm very grateful for my overall health, and particularly after, you know, what others go through. So
two episodes in a row, you've missed the Levitard show. Your voice has been a little bad, but it didn't stop you from appearing on the Tony Kornheiser podcast this past week. I have to admit, it gave the entire Levitard show crew a good laugh.
Okay.
When I was able to show them a link of you promoting your appearance on the Tony Kornheiser show after missing two straight weeks. It was a little chef's kiss, a little classic Greg Cody. I just need that delay. How was your voice on that appearance, by the way?
It was great. It was fantastic. I love being on with Tony because he actually lets me speak. You know, he actually asks me sports questions and lets me talk a lot. No, seriously, probably shouldn't have tweeted that out. But Christopher, you know as much as anybody other than your mother
that you love the sound of your voice, and that even if you're sick,
my health pivots on a dime, on an hour. I mean,
your health comes second when it comes to you appearing on a podcast.
What happened was I woke up Tuesday morning just not feeling very well, and my voice was shit, and I just was not prepared to go on a national podcast like Levitard. And
but Thursday,
the next day, my voice was much better, and that's the way it is with my voice. You know, right now it feels pretty good. In an hour, it could be terrible again. You know, so but I do love me some Tony Kornheiser, and I'm reeling him in slowly. It's like a big fish on my line.
He's never going to be on this podcast. We have a bet. Don't we have a bet?
We do have a bet, and I am reeling him in.
You have to the end of the year.
The boat.
The end of the year is the cutoff we gave.
I'm working behind the scenes.
This was an off-air bet. What were the
I actually don't even think we came up with stakes. We should come up with some sort of stake. Can you come up with a single stake?
Stakes, yeah.
But I don't know. It was basically just, can I say he can't? He says he can. Can you get him on by the end of the year? We should come up with what the actual bet is.
Yeah, we'll come up with a proper bet. But for now, I am reeling him into the boat. But
this is an exciting show we have today. We're gonna get to the NBA and the Heat later on. We'll be at the arena giving full breakdown of Game 7.
Yep.
But first, riding the high of last week. So last week we did Greg Doesn't Know Movies, and people love it. People love Cody's being idiots. So I do it enough on the Levitard show. My dad does it during Greg Doesn't Know Movies. And today we will continue that with Uncle Dick, Cody. We are going to test his pop culture knowledge. We're calling it Uncle Dick Doesn't Know Pop Culture. We're very simple around here with the way we name stuff. So Dad, do you want to bring him in? Should we set up for the audience how we're going to do this? Now, me and my dad have both constructed questions.
Yes.
Neither of us have seen each other's questions. So the way I like to play this is I'll ask Uncle Dick my questions, when he doesn't know the answer, we'll see if my dad knows the answer. Because I actually think my dad's going to know most of mine. And then my dad will alternate. My dad will ask his questions, and then I'll make fun of how terrible pop culturally they are.
Okay, let me break away and go get my big brother, Uncle Dick Cody. I've been knowing him my whole life. He's like a brother to me, and let me bring him in. Hang on.
I just want to say on the record, though, there's no way Greg Cody's pop culture questions are good. I just need that stated ahead of time. This game is going to turn into me getting mad at my dad for how terrible his pop culture questions are. Do you have any pop culture questions, Yeti, that you want to ask Uncle Dick? I know we sprung this on you late. You're on vacation right now. Like, I want you to paint the picture where you are, because I see like you're not in your normal studio. You seem to be on a front porch of some sort.
I'm out on a side porch of a beautiful VRBO home, or I guess they call it Vrbo, in beautiful Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
So we are going to Dollywood.
A nice, nice little Memorial Day trip. Yeah.
And close the door behind you.
Classic. There, this is the Codys right here. We should just let's just be quiet and let them. Let's listen to them. Let's just listen to this.
All right. So try to squeeze in so that you can be seen.
My dad's going to need to unplug his headphones, isn't he?
Move back.
I love how my dad plugs both headphones back into his ears, not worrying about the idea that Uncle Dick can't hear anything.
Okay. Here, will that reach?
Here, Dad, put it in your other ear. Put it in your other ear so there's more slack. Dad, put it in the other ear. There you go. Uncle Dick, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I think we need to unplug your headphones, Dad. I think that's the way. You need to unplug your headphones so you guys can just hear me through the computer. We're keeping all this in.
All right.
Keep the microphone plugged in. Just unplug the headphone. Yes, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
I'm going to call you.
Yo.
I love this. I just want you to know that I love this.
You asked me to unplug my speaker.
I know. I need you now to go to the bottom of your Zoom. You see like the bottom settings where like that little microphone is?
Yeah.
Click the up arrow.
Right.
And when it says select speaker, what's clicked? I want you to click it should say speakers.
Okay. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Let's hang up. All right. So now you can hear me.
Yeah. You can hear them, right?
Put this back in.
You can take out the headphones now. Take out the headphones. Can you guys hear me? Can Uncle Dick hear me?
I can barely hear you.
I need a technician here.
All right. You're here with the wrong guy.
Yeah, oh, really? Hey, that kind of thing.
All right, now do you both hear me fine enough?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Dad, make a little room for Uncle Dick. Welcome him into the Zoom camera. Yeah,
I can hear you, but not well, Chris.
Well, right. Dick's hard of hearing.
Yeah.
Uncle Dick has a $5,000 pair of hearing aids and never wears them.
Yeah. They're at home.
I believe Uncle Dick said on the golf course. I'm going to talk loud like I'm talking to old people here. I believe Uncle Dick said on the golf course yesterday that instead of wearing his hearing aids, he cups his hands behind his ears to help himself hear his TV better.
That's correct.
And it actually works.
Yeah.
I'm figuring, why the hell don't I just put my hearing aids in?
Yeah.
Correct.
You're sitting there for like an hour, your arms start to get tired because you... it's actually an arm workout.
I was watching a Downton Abbey marathon like that.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
All right. So Uncle Dick, are you ready for your pop culture knowledge to be tested?
I can, but I'm still having a little trouble. Your voice is still low.
I love this. This needs to be this way. Dad, maybe you switch seats with him since your hearing's a little better.
Okay. All right. Let's switch seats.
Okay. It ain't the seats, it's the hearing.
Yeah. And Dad, the volume. Yeti, this is gold, by the way, if you haven't been hearing this. This is exactly
right, what I can hear you fine.
Hello. Sound check.
This is Uncle Dick don't know Dick, right?
Yeah, Uncle Dick doesn't know Dick. That would actually be a good one. All right. Uncle Dick, can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. Go ahead.
Okay. So what we're going to do here, we're going to test your knowledge of pop culture.
Oh, boy.
Me and my dad both have questions prepared. Hopefully, you can't see my dad's questions because he's sitting right next to you.
I was looking over his shoulder at the questions. No, just kidding.
Yeah, all right. Let's dive right into it, Dad. I'm going to go first, and then you'll go.
Okay.
All right. My first pop culture question for Uncle Dick is, Uncle Dick, who are Logan and Jake Paul?
Logan and Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can take a guess.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Country singers?
All right. Nope. They are not country singers. They are YouTubers, boxing sensations. They are just the modern day star that you would have no clue about. Okay. So that's a perfect answer.
Okay.
First question.
Number one.
I knew that, right, by the perfect. Way, in case anyone was wondering.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I want to go to my dad on some of these. My dad would have known that.
On my heart, I knew that. Now, can I ask one?
What's your first pop culture question?
Don't cheat. Don't look.
I'm looking out of the corner of my eye.
Okay, who starred in the short-lived 1960s sitcom My Mother the Car?
Oh my God, this is not.
That was Jerry Van Dyke.
No, that's right.
This is not that. That's not.
It's 2 weeks in a row with My Mother the Car reference.
One of the worst sitcoms ever. That's why I remember it.
We are the only podcast that is, in this decade that has referenced that show 2 weeks in a row. I just want that to be stated.
Okay.
All right. The worst premise for a sitcom ever.
Dad, when I say pop culture, it means like currently popular. Like,
okay, I'll try to get more modern with my next question.
Okay, that was just not pop culture. That was like right.
The next one is totally coming from my dream of genius.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. All right.
All right, your turn.
Are you doing a bit here with that, Dad? I mean, that was genius, honestly, by you.
Thank you.
All right. Uncle Dick, name a single one of the first names for one of the Kardashians. Just give me one of their first names.
Oh, Kim.
Oh, hey, my man.
Wow.
Hey, Uncle Dick, fist pump me. I get you, my man. Wow. Nice. All right. I should have said besides Kim.
Glad you didn't ask me to name a second name.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Sorry, right. That was a bit easy. All right. My question.
I love that.
Who just bought Twitter?
Or no, they didn't actually buy it. They made news for...
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually bought it. Elon Musk, yeah. Right?
Wow, we got to get tougher with these questions.
I'm on a roll. I'm like butter.
But Dad, see, Uncle Dick is on Facebook. He like butter. I mean, that's like something that would so be all over Facebook. I was like purposely, I'm like, Uncle Dick, if he's on anything, is all over Facebook. So like, that's something almost.
Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah. That actually leads to this one. He'll probably know this one because of said Facebook. Okay. Name Johnny Depp's ex-wife who he's currently involved with a defamation case against.
Who's the ex-wife?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, name his ex-wife. Oh, God.
It's current. Like, it's like a very popular court case, like being followed right now.
Yes. Amber Heard.
Ah, oh, damn it.
He is killing
us. He needs to, he needs to learn how to play the game. Gosh. And know how to learn how to get stuff wrong.
It's all over TV.
No, I know.
I've never heard of Amber Heard, but I know she's in the trial.
Right. That's one of those ones. I was just hoping that you were that oblivious. Hey, you're doing well so far. Right? This is kind of blowing up in our face, but let's keep it moving, Dad. You got this.
I'll try to screw up or make it interesting.
No, don't.
Okay, what prominent Goodfellas actor died this week?
Oh, what is it? Ray Liotta?
Jesus!
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Nailing it!
No, this is actually really good, Dad.
We found the smartest Cody.
We found a competent Cody. I mean, Jesus.
The problem is Uncle Dick watches a lot of TV.
Yeah, with his fingers cupping his ears. All right. All right, here's a good one. Which pop star sings the smash hit Watermelon Sugar and whose first name is Harry?
Oh, I love that song.
I've never heard of the song. And whose first name is Harry? I have no idea.
Look at us. We're back.
All right.
Who is it?
It's Harry Styles.
Yeah, I knew that. I love him.
Yeah.
All right. Dad over here.
Great guy.
All right. I got a good one here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Name the beloved rock drummer who died recently or his band.
Oh, is it the Rolling Stones, Charlie Watts?
That's a correct answer, but that's not who I was thinking of. Charlie Watts died more than a year ago. I'm thinking of somebody who died fairly recently.
But I think just based off the vagueness of your question, he gets it right.
Okay.
Fairly interesting. Fairly recently. Huh?
Yeah.
Rock drummer.
Yep.
You can't care to give me the name of the band?
No. The question is, you got to either name the drummer or the band, both.
I can't name either.
All right. The answer is Taylor Hawkins of the Foo Fighters.
Oh, I never would have got that.
Okay.
Never would have got that.
All right. Uncle Dick, name one current wrestler.
Oh, current wrestler. What is current? Haystack Calhoun, Bruno Sammartino.
Wow.
I don't know a current wrestler. I stopped watching wrestling 10 years ago.
Probably more than that.
Some of those guys are probably still around, though. I don't know.
Name the two people involved in the infamous slap that took place at this year's Oscars.
Oh, Chris Rock and what's the other guy's name?
Up.
Half credit. Will Smith.
Damn it!
Oh.
Damn it.
I've just noticed a pattern. The Codys are always looking for half credit.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, they are. Wow. They are. I'm disappointed in myself. I want to make fun of my dad for going too newsy with his questions, but my Johnny Depp and Will Smith one.
You give me pretty easy questions there.
But that's the whole idea of the bit, Uncle Dick, is we do this with my dad with movies, and he gets them all wrong, so it's really funny.
Yeah, I was afraid you're going to get a little more obscure references. But
well, the whole point of the bit is to not go obscure. Like, the more obvious the answer should be, the funnier it is for the audience. That's why.
All right, I have one.
All right, go ahead, Dad.
Okay. Elton John recently teamed with what modern star this year to record the biggest hit he's had in decades?
You know, I remember you mentioning that probably in a phone conversation. I don't know when, but I've forgotten.
Dad, I actually had a question involving this person as well. All right, but you know what? Let's just move on. Move on to another question. He didn't get that one. Don't tell the answer, but I'm just going to ask a different question. All right. I'm going to say a name of, you know, a person, and you say what they do, what this person does.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Doja Cat.
Who?
Doja Cat.
I have no idea. Never heard the name in my life.
I was hoping he'd be like, it's a cartoon character. It's like some cartoon.
I don't know. What the hell is it?
Doja Cat is the woman that is the star my dad was talking about with the Elton John song. He teamed with...
Oh. No, it isn't.
Huh? No, he's not. Christopher.
It isn't.
Wait, what am I having? I'm having a moment?
It's Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa. I just... That's my bad. That's my bad. I just had a moment.
Christopher's
worse
at this game than Uncle Dick.
Damn it.
Uncle Dick don't know her either.
Wow.
I've actually heard that name.
Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
Doja Cat. It's the D.
Uncle D.
I just had a moment there. All right, we got to leave that in. There's part of me that wants to cut that, but that was too good. Yeah,
no,
I'm an
that's
idiot.
Staying.
Uncle Dick is outranking Christopher on pop culture knowledge right now. Which is sad.
All right, Uncle Dick. All right, I got another one for you.
All a sham.
This is a good one that he should like. This is a pretty obvious one, so he might get it. If he gets this one, the game is over and we lose.
Yeah.
What popular TV drama starred Bryan Cranston and involves meth?
Ryan who?
Bryan Cranston. Oh. And the show involves meth.
Oh, I know. Breaking Bad.
Oh my gosh.
All right, we lose.
Get out of here, Uncle Dick.
I had to think about that half a second, but yeah. I love that show.
Yeah.
Now he's mocking us. I had to think about that a half a second.
Yeah. Uncle Dick wins, we lose.
I only hesitated on my answer because I didn't understand you.
Uncle Dick is making Greg look really bad.
Your brother here has just dunked on you in terms of just like, we thought he would be in your category with pop culture. He's better than you.
Yeah, that's true. Let me see if I have a leftover one here. What movie sequel tops the box office today?
Sequel? Is it a Star Wars?
I'm not giving you a hint.
No, I would say a Star Wars sequel. No?
We got him.
What is it?
Top Gun Maverick.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so we win.
Uncle Dick, have you ever been on the highway to the danger zone?
Highways that are danger zone? What's that? I've heard that.
That's a song lyric.
There we go. I got him, kind of. Half credit.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Real Cream!
Hey, cool cats. Tired of suffering from prolonged virginity? Want to attract the kittens like a fancy lad? Well, a little dab will do you, and two will do you double. Brill Cream. Guys, put your hands on your tube and squeeze. Brill Cream. Dabbing it.
Brill cream, a little lavender, Brill cream, wipes the matter to ya. Fancy lad must always look so debonair. Brill cream, a little lavender, Brill cream, wipes the matter to ya. All the ladies love a lad with Brill cream. Brill cream.
Okay, the bit was called Uncle Dick Doesn't Know Pop Culture, and we've now renamed it to Uncle Dick Apparently Does Know Pop Culture, which it's a thoroughly unsuccessful bit because
it's still enjoyable. It was still enjoyable, though. I made a stupid mistake.
The man who knew too much.
We like to have fun.
Yeah. Uncle Dick is down. He lives a couple of hours north of me, and he comes down periodically, which I love. And Uncle Dick is 9 years older than me, so... Growing up, Dick, we had sort of a weird relationship because, you know, you're in high school and I'm in fourth grade. You know, it was sort of weird. But I have a couple of distinct memories of growing up and you doing the big brother thing. And I wonder if you could share your memories of that. One of them was you tried to teach me a love for fishing. It never quite caught on, but you you tried. And I want you to talk about some of those memories.
I remember we went out fishing a couple of times. I think I used to have a little boat with a little motor on it, and we went out to, I don't know, Sawgrass or something.
I have Loxahatchee in my mind.
Loxahatchee, yeah, very well could be. But I remember it's like early morning, very still, very quiet out there, and Greg is talking very loudly, and his voice was echoing up and down the canal.
Yes, thank you.
I had to shush him.
Yes, and you, I was scaring the fish.
Like... You're like, there's other boats out here.
You're scaring away the other boaters.
That's right.
Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The fish bug never caught on with me. I remember.
I would say the opposite. I would say that the opposite caught on. I would say you loathe fishing. Like whatever he tried to create in you became a hate for fishing.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
I remember a picture, a photograph, I think, of me in a flop hat and you were holding up a little tiny brim or something.
Yeah. It was like I would like to find that picture because it was like a classic Tom Sawyer picture, you know.
Yeah.
It was black and white. I distinctly remember the photo you're talking about.
Yeah. Uncle Dick, I remember you taking Michael and I, my younger brother, out on a boat in Vero. I don't know if we were up there alone without my parents, but I just have a memory of us being out on your boat and you kind of trying to do the same thing with us, take us fishing.
I remember
we only did that once, so it must have been a pain in the ass to take us out there because you were like,
no, not really. It was more that I wasn't a boater. I retired, and immediately, of course, where I live and I had to get a boat. And turns out I was a fisherman, but not a boater. So I didn't take the boat out very much. But I remember the time taking you guys out. And I think you piloted for a while, didn't you? You took the wheel.
I remember years later thinking, wow, it must have been like a pain in the ass.
You know, I hated the whole thing, backing a trailer into the water.
Oh, and,
you know,
nightmare.
It was a nightmare, senora. First time I took a boat out, I immediately ran to the ground.
Yeah. Okay.
I forgot everything the Coast Guard taught me about channels and stuff. Okay. And I immediately ran my boat aground. And when you buy a new boat, they give you a little half-ass one of those air horns about that big.
So you're just blowing
like
it?
Six maps.
Yeah.
And I was trying to flag down another boater to help me get it off. Yeah. After about 5 minutes of that, the air horn gave up on me.
So I was there by myself. So you swam. Wow.
I eventually got off. Here I am.
A sad boater story.
Last time I took that boat out, too.
That kind of thing. all right. So the point is, despite our 9-year age difference, Uncle Dick did make an effort to involve the little bro and then be a good big bro. So we appreciate that. And here we are all these years later on a podcast in 2022. How about that?
Dad, not to, you know, segue from nonsense into serious, but did you, I feel like we didn't talk enough. Yep. Graceland's in the background.
Okay.
We did not talk enough about your health. You had, now as much as we joked about the Tony Kornheiser and you missing the last couple episodes, you actually had a health scare recently, not a hair. so do you want to describe that to the audience and talk about it?
Yeah. I wasn't going to, but I fainted a couple of weeks ago, and the circumstances were the worst because I was in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania at a memorial service for a dear friend of ours who had passed away very unexpectedly a few months earlier. And we were in his house after the ceremony, and I was having one of my coughing attacks. And my cough is so chronic and so bad that when I'm having an attack, I'm very self-conscious when I'm in a crowd, you know, particularly in the COVID era and all this
stuff. We've joked about, I know we don't want to joke right now, but we've joked about how he likes to make himself as small as possible when he's coughing, as if people can't see him if he makes his shoulders close together and it makes him seem less.
That's exactly correct. It doesn't work, but it's an effort on my part. So anyway, I was having a coughing attack and I was coughing with my mouth closed. And I did that for 5 or 6 times in a row. And people around me were describing me as getting just beet red in the face. And I stood up. I was in a chair in the middle of this coughing attack and holding my breath. I stood up suddenly and I completely fainted. And I was not aware, oh my gosh, I'm losing consciousness. I fainted. I hit the ground like a ton of bricks. And the next thing I remember, I'm waking up and there's a dozen faces looking down at me. And they called EMS. They called the emergency services. And I was fine. I'm okay. And I told my doctor about it subsequently. And I told him coughing was involved. And he said, don't do that, you know, anymore. So
what? Don't like cough. Don't not breathe. Like let air out of your mouth, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a little bit of a health scare.
And just like you said, like the setting for it couldn't have been worse.
Oh my gosh. No, it was in the very house where our dear friend had fallen and never gotten up. Essentially, he passed away days after with a sudden cardiac arrest took his life. And it was a tragedy. But I'm fine. And again, in context of what other people go through, I feel blessed. I feel good right now. I have every intention to be back on the Levitard show Tuesday and that kind of thing.
I have to say, though, you not making it would have gotten great downloads because we're about to get to tennis here. And me and my dad were recording on the tennis court. And as my dad is, you know, I was like, you're going to hear it. I was as tired as my dad, but I was so concerned about my dad because of all his current health issues that it was a real weird feeling for me out there because I wanted to like get this tennis done. My dad wanted to play, but at the same time, I'm like, man, if this doesn't end well, people are going to be looking at me like, why did you play tennis with your dad?
Yeah, exactly.
So like it was and I ended up kicking, you know, I don't want to spoil how, you know, what happened, but it was a weird context around this tennis match because we talk. I don't want to, you know, be redundant because we talk about it in it. So let's just get to that now. Me and my dad, the Greg Cody Show Olympics, event number 6, right? I'm up 5-1. No, 4-1.
4-1.
I'm up 4-1. Here we go. Event 6, tennis.
The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody presents the Cody Family Olympics. Brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Father versus son. Old versus young. Not athletic versus someone who, just a few years ago, turned out to be more athletic than any listener had previously imagined. 5 weeks, 10 events, a house divided. Who will reign victorious? The Cody Family Olympics, brought to you by The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
You can hear the hum of that Corvette. Look at you. Greg Cody's ready to play tennis in women's shoes. I said I wasn't going to bring it up, but it just needs to be brought up. He wears my mom's shoes.
Saying that, I'm not convinced.
Okay, they're the only sneakers that he owns, and they're my mom's shoes. So we are headed to tennis right now. I have a few concerns. The main one is my dad's health. You know, I think there's a lot more running involved in tennis than you're giving credit.
Well, we're only playing one set, so I think we're good. My only concern, frankly, is that we're doing this at the very height of heat.
Yeah, 2 p.m., and I have a few excuses I want to throw out there early. One, I'm prepared. You know how most in tennis, the advantage is always with the server?
Right.
And how, you know, in professional tennis, if you have the serve, you have the advantage?
Yeah.
Well, I feel the opposite. because I have not played a lot of tennis in my life. You've played a lot. While I think I'm going to be able to like hang with you on all the volleys, I'm worried about my serve. Like, I'm just worried about getting serves over to you without like just giving you points.
Back in the day, my serve was my strength.
That's what I mean. It's still, when we've played, me and you have probably played tennis 10 times in my entire life. I'm a very raw tennis player. Like, I have never given it as much time as I, please leave your car on. Christ, like, we're like recording. Like,
sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, we're here.
Literally eight, right, but I'm still going and it's all 88 degrees out.
All right, sorry. God. I just think we're going to be playing tennis in this weather in a minute.
That's what I mean. So, like, why would we sit in the car? Like, all right. Just want to. But I am just, what I was getting at is I've not played a lot of tennis. While I think I'm decent at it just because I'm good at athletics, this has never been a sport that I've given a lot of time to. While as you have played, how many matches versus friends in your life?
Oh my God, hundreds. I mean.
That's what I mean. This is a sport, most sports that me and you have played, I at some point have passed you. And like, right. But like this is one where you are probably better than me at tennis. If you didn't have this health thing, I would be the underdog in this. I think I am the underdog.
If I didn't have this health thing, but also if I didn't have this age thing. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I played tennis regularly. Lebatard and I actually used to play a lot.
Yeah. Neither of you picked up a racket in 10 years.
Well, it hadn't been 10 years, but you're right. It's been a while. I'm actually looking forward to, I'm dreading it and looking forward to it at the same time because I honestly don't know how good or bad I'm going to be.
I'm just remembering a couple weeks ago when you and I both, I was not happy with my conditioning. Me and you were both tired. Like, you could see on our faces how tired we were, and we just shot free throws.
Right.
Like, this is going to be by far the most strenuous thing we've done. You've kept wanting to do this thinking that you got it in the bag, where I'm like, we should put this till you're feeling, you know, better. But, you know, here we are. And I think I'm so committed at this point and worried about your health. If you croak on the tennis court, I can't not turn on the recorder and be like, all right, so that's what's, like, I have to give an update, right? Like, or this, I should probably just not even talk about you croaking because if you actually do croak, this will never see air.
Well, call 911 first and then record it.
Okay, so call 911 and get their react when they get there. Be like, hey guys, we're doing it.
Yeah,
maybe. How funny would that be if as they're arriving to help you, I have a phone in their face contenting.
Yes. You have to, you know, because the EMS.
You would literally be on the floor like, get this.
Right. Everything for the podcast. Everything for you listeners. Everything.
All right, let's go play some tennis.
All right. Can I shut off the engine now?
Yeah. Okay. We are three games in. Son Chris Cody is winning 3-0. It's been closer than that, though. Most games have been a little competitive. The thing that's staggering to me right now is my dad seems okay. Every time I ask him, you good? I ask him after like almost every shot because I'm nervous.
Ridiculous.
And I'm winded after 3 games. Like right now you can hear it in my voice. So that's why, like, if you're literally good right now, it's just once again me looking at myself being like, you out of shape piece of crap.
I want to say down 3-0 that I'm pretty encouraged. I've had a chance to win all 3 games.
2 of 3.
And I am not out of this match.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm definitely sweating. We're only playing 1 set, so it's 1-6. I'm up 3-0. So
first 1-6, win by 2.
Oh wow! Look at you. He coughs as he walks away.
Why don't you put your seatbelt on like a human being?
We are all done. Tennis is complete. My dad is alive. I think the big shocker here was that your wind, at least the way it appeared to me, was equal to mine. I think we were equally tired afterwards. Not that I'm going to start making excuses. We recorded this on a Thursday, and I worked earlier, and I didn't actually eat lunch or breakfast today. So that was like midway through it when I was like breathing really heavily. I was like, why am I so tired? And I think it's because I haven't eaten a single thing all day.
Yeah, you overreacted to my suggestion that we play tennis. It's as if you were going to rent a paramedic and bring it with us. I knew I had 1 set in me. I did, and I was right. Now, if we were playing a second set, I probably would have really showed my wind. But, yeah, I did good. I did fine.
So I won 6-2. I was up 5-0, and then my dad went on a little run and won 2 in a row, and then I finally closed the door. And at 5-0, me and my dad were both red-faced, sitting under the shade because this court was, like, as hot as you know, Mars.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at him like, Dad, 5-0. Like, you know, like, you're probably not going to come back. You want to just, you know, call it a day? And he was as confident as ever.
Tennis is a weird sport. If you look at the score, 6-2, and you're not really a tennis player, you assume it was an easy match and the winner won easily. I think in this game, I was in four or five of the six games you won. I was well in it, could have won it. I think I was definitely leading in a few of those games you won.
Right, and then I play. You're not going to say I didn't play okay?
Yeah, you did. For somebody who hasn't played in a long time, I think both of us played okay. I don't think either one of us.
I think you made way more careless errors than I did. I think that the points you got on me were like when you would hit a good shot, when your serve would get in, when you'd get one of your slice shots in, you know, like you were the one making more, like I wasn't making too many, like just hit right at me and then I screwed up.
Right. My court movement was just terrible. Late in the set, I began to get my serve a little bit. That's why I won a couple of games.
But I returned it pretty, I would usually get it back to you.
You did.
I think you had like one or two aces.
Yeah. Three or four maybe. I think, and you're going to roll your eyes, I think if we played again in 2 or 3 weeks, might be a different story.
Let's do it. As long as I'm not don't have the fear of you dying, I would love for this to be something we do for exercise.
Me too.
So
because
just
the more we play, the better we're going to get. Not just in terms of the tennis, but in terms of the wind and the court movement.
Right. So I'm down. As long as you're not dying, I'm down.
Okay. That's a promise. I promise not to die right on the court.
I have to admit.
To drive home.
This literally coming on a week where you've missed two straight Levitard shows. We talked about that earlier on the podcast. It's odd that I was looking into the future. If something horrific happened where Mom, Michael, my wife, the entire Levitard show are saying to me, why the f*** did you play tennis with your dad when he's been having respiratory issues for the last year and a half? And I would just be like, he said he was fine. Like, that would be my only response.
And it would be a good one. Look, I'm a big boy. When I tell you I'm fine to play one set of tennis, I should not need a doctor's order. I'm an adult.
But you are notoriously like, I think I can do things I can't.
That may be true.
Well, hey, you're here. The podcast people are listening to this. That means you survived. So another one in the books for me. What is it, 5-1 now?
It is 5-1.
So now you can only tie me in the Greg Cody, Chris Cody Olympics.
No, it's true. And I plan to. But I am encouraged. I don't want to overemphasize and put a bow tie on losing 6-2. But at the same time, I am mildly encouraged by the way I just played.
The things we have left are a shopping competition where we compete to see who can get items from a grocery store quicker.
My most dreaded competition.
We have swimming, which I think will be tough for you breathing wise.
Also dreaded.
We have ping pong.
That I will win. I'm the favorite.
And what's our fourth left?
It's kicking field goals, 30-yard field goals.
Okay, I will definitely win that. So I would say my dad has a chance in one of the, I'd say two. I'll give him a chance in ping pong. I'm going to like not insult him and say he has a chance. You have a chance in ping pong and the shopping game. You will get destroyed in swimming and field goals.
Okay, this is a spoiler alert, okay? I have two words for you, field goals. And now here's the spoiler alert. Are you ready? I might be breaking out the barefoot.
Oh, God. Maybe we'll have Hal Habib come.
Yeah. Let's do it.
The halibut.
Let's go, halibut.
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing. Okay.
You survived.
I did survive. I got my ass kicked. Actually, I thought it was closer than the score indicated, but, you know, that sounds sad to say, so I retract saying it. But I want to get to something real serious, and I'm not going to belabor it, but the latest, and it's so sad that you have to say the latest because it's a continuing parade. Mm-hmm. The latest school massacre where a crazy person gets an assault weapon and just randomly kills totally innocent people. This one happened in Texas. I don't know where the next one will be, but there will be a next one, sadly, because that's the country we've become. And I just hate that we're such a selfish country. Gun worship is to a point where the worshipers are thinking solely of their Second Amendment rights.
Yep.
And the Second Amendment rights, by the way, when the Second Amendment was formed, obviously there were no assault weapons. There were no weapons of mass destruction. The founding fathers had in mind, you have a right to have a pistol to defend your home. You have a right to a hunting rifle if you want to hunt. That's it. That's all you need. And the idea that an 18-year-old who's not old enough to drink can buy an assault weapon is just patently absurd to me. It's pathetic. It's ruining our country. And I beseech people who feel like they have to own an assault weapon to just look in the mirror and ask, is your quote unquote right to that assault weapon, does that outweigh the right of parents to send their children to school without fearing that they're going to get a terrible phone call, the worst imaginable? So I pray we change as a country. I pray that our politicians get together and do the right thing for the country, not for the gun lobby, but for the country at large. And I pray that happens because right now to wake up to these latest headlines is just, it's soul crushing. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's all I have. I'm done preaching.
My perspective on it obviously changed a lot as now I'm at, my daughter's at an age, this is the first one of these that's really happened where my daughter's at an age, and not the first one, because I know we've had a bunch of school shootings already this year. So it's not the first school shooting, but it's the one that's made the most news in terms of rocking my world in terms of, oh, wow, I have to drop my daughter off at a school daycare every day, and the fear in that, and like the picking my daughter up the day that happened, and the relief of just hugging her. And it's just obviously unimaginable the pain that these families are going through.
Yeah.
And the fact, and I know, you know, the right with the guns, but even the left with pushing the narrative of getting rid of guns as soon as this happens, it all feels real icky to me in terms of, like, I get it. This makes me, like, we need change with gun laws, but just that it just becomes such a repetitive rinse repeat of the left's talking points, the right's talking points, and I don't think enough attention just goes to the sadness of these families and the fact that their world is just completely altered forever. These families not a day will not go by that these families don't think about this stuff. And I know gun laws is a big part of that, so it's like I understand the rhetoric, but I just it makes me sad that these families, that's the part, like, as much as I agree with, like, yeah, there needs to be change with gun laws, I just can't get over the fear and the pain that these families must be going through.
I can't believe the resistance to any change in the gun laws, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they give in a quarter of an inch, that's the end, you know?
Yeah.
That's all bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
I just wish we could reach a compromise where the Second Amendment is legit. We keep the Second Amendment. You're allowed to protect your home. You're allowed to go hunting for deer or what have you. But ban assault weapons. That's all I'm saying. That does not need to be under the umbrella of the Second Amendment.
Too easy to get a gun.
Yeah.
Too prevalent.
I just pray the country does the right thing for the kids, out there who should not have to even know about a school massacre, let alone be involved in one.
And you guys, to, you know, obviously we want to transition back to, you know, our normal show and having a little fun. You mentioned the founding fathers. What were they like? I'm asking both of you.
You know, everybody made fun of George Washington's hair, you know, because it was white as a sheet. It was like,
oh, and those wooden teeth were.
Oh, yeah. No, it was crazy. It was something. But I used to borrow Lincoln's hat, the stovepipe hat I'd borrowed for Halloween. You know, those are fun days. They really were.
Well, you know, when the Second Amendment was written in, 1776 or whenever it was.
You were there.
If you didn't have a gun, you didn't put food on the table.
Right.
You know. So it's a totally different time, and I can understand it back then. But right now, their right to bear arms, I seriously question.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I'm okay with gun collectors and hunting, like most people. But people that are unwilling to budge an inch while kids are being slaughtered, you know, week after week.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's the myopia and the selfishness that gets to me.
Yeah.
The idea you can't sacrifice your AK-47 or whatever the hell they're called. You can't sacrifice your assault weapon so that parents in America can sleep a little easier about their kids is just beyond me.
All right. Well, let's try to get back to the normal show. We are going to be next live.
Oh, my.
At the FTX Arena, Game 7, Heat Celtics. Greg and I will be on scene. Let's finish this episode up strong.
Yes.
Thank you, Uncle Dick.
You're welcome.
Yes, thanks, bro.
My pleasure.
We are here at the arena. Man, that was a roller coaster of a game in that the Heat were never really out of it, but never really in it.
Yeah.
It was a weird game. They were just hovering around that 7-6 point. They could never really get it. And then late in the game, they get it with inside five. I don't know. Was this a good season? I know I'm throwing a lot of you.
Okay.
Right now. This was a weird one.
Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit more about the game. It was an uphill climb from the start. They were behind 9-1 before people were even in their seats. They had a bad, bad first quarter. And the whole game was an uphill climb. Spoelstra just said that it felt like they were fighting from 8 or 10 points down most of the game.
Yeah.
And they were. And they just couldn't finish. They lost 196. And, you know, Butler took a wide open three with 11 seconds left that would have given them their first lead of the entire game. It was a wire-to-wire win by Boston. And the TV guys were criticizing Butler for taking that particular shot. I don't criticize him at all. He scored 35 points. He's not a three-point shooter, but he had an open look, and he should have taken it.
Yeah, I heard Amin Alhassan with the Levitard Show was criticizing it as well, just saying basically, look, you're not that guy. You know, the famous meme, you don't notice, right. But there's been like, you're not that guy.
Okay.
But I'm with you. I'm prepared to live with that. Jimmy Butler earned the right to take that shot. I'm happy with that shot. I mean, I was more nervous about that Max Strus three with like 20 seconds left, but he actually hit it.
Right.
It was one of those, oh no, until he hits it shots. And, you know, if Jimmy hits that shot, he's the hero.
Oh, yeah.
So, I you know, we're definitely playing the result a little bit. I get it. He's not a good three-point shooter. But at some point, when a guy is your guy, you just live and die with him. And I'm with you. I was okay with that shot.
And he's been a better three-point shooter this
postseason. And in the playoffs, he's just more clutch. He hit a big one in Game 6 in the corner against the Celtics, and everyone was fine with that one. So it's like, I'm not going to crush. I'm definitely not going to do the let's crush Jimmy Butler after these last two games. I think the Heat, you know, you want to play the game underachieved, overachieved, achieved. I think they achieved. Like, I think if anybody, you know, no one looked at this roster and was like, this team has to win the East. It was impressive for them to even get to this point. You can make an argument that a couple teams in the East, were other than the Celtics, were even maybe better than the Heat. So the fact that they came in second in the entire conference, it was a good season. The Panthers lost. They had a, you know, that one not as much. We can't say that was a good season, but I think the Heat, obviously this team always wants to win championships, but there are other successes outside of championships, and this was a good year for the Heat.
It was a good year. I think that's unequivocal. I think what they ran into in this series is a team that plays even better defense than they do. You know, defense has always been the hallmark of the Heat. It's the foundation. It's the starting point.
The Celtics just do that a little. Like, the Celtics were just better.
They're great.
Outside of maybe Jimmy having more guts than Jason Tatum, like, a lot of people nationally think Jason Tatum's better than Jimmy. I would probably, just with the guts he showed in the playoffs, I think that's a coin flip, those two. But overall, the Celtics were just a little better. They're like a better version of the Heat. They play really good defense. Yeah. They have a bunch of guys that are scrappy that you don't even really think about, but yet he's annoying you. Like, it's just, they're very similar teams, and the Heat, like, if you said after going into Game 6, the Heat will have in Game 7 a chance with Jimmy taking a wide open three to take a lead with 10 seconds left, I would have taken that because shit looked terrible going into Game 6. So that's where we're at. It was a good season. I don't think there's much else really to say. I think, I had fun. Look at me and you.
I know.
Working together.
It's unusual.
We're sitting above the 100 level where the media sits at AAA, at FTX. And it was, you know, I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I did too. And I think one other quick comment on the game and the difference in the teams. I think Boston has three players who you can pretty much count on for 20 points. Those players, you know, Brown, Tatum, and Smart, who had 74 points combined tonight. the Heat, when Hero's not out there and hitting threes, they do not have that third scoring option that you can really count on. Until Bam had a big game, it was pretty much Jimmy carrying this entire team.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big difference in the series.
With Tyler out, we were just relying too much on Victor Oladipo and Kyle Lowry. I mean, I love Kyle Lowry's effort in that game seven. Like, nobody wanted it more than Kyle Lowry, but I just don't know if at this point in his career, like, he's good enough to be a good starting point guard on a playoff team. I think he's, at this point, a guy off the bench, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Kyle, I don't want to crush Kyle Lowry, but it just felt like we were going to Victor and Kyle Lowry a lot, and it just, their options were better than ours.
Yeah, and I also think the Heat's relying a lot on spare parts, on undrafted guys, on the Max Struces and the Gabe Vincents, and, you know, they need to strengthen the roster. I think, I agree with you, I think Boston was a better team overall and narrowly deserved to win a very close series.
All right, well, let's end this damn episode because it's almost 1 a.m.
Let's do it. Let's take the rest of the night off.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice chatting with you.
Hey, pod family. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Check out our merch.
Okay, do it.
Later.
Bye.